How did you find me, Julian?
How do you think I found you, Petal?
Either you pried it out of the Director General of MI5, or Shemrone told you. I'm betting it was Shemrone.
You always were a clever boy.
When did you speak with him? Gabriel asked.
Julian Isherwood gave an ambiguous shrug of his shoulders.
I bumped into him in Paris a few weeks ago.
Gabriel, by his expression, made it clear he found Isherwood's account less than credible. No one bumped into Ari Shemrone, and those who did rarely lived to recall the experience.
Where in Paris?
We had dinner in his suite at the Ritz, just the two of us.
How romantic.
Actually, we weren't completely alone. His bodyguard was there, too. Poor Shemrone, he's as old as the Judean hills, but even now his enemies are ruthlessly stalking him.
It comes with the territory, Julian.
I suppose it does.
Isherwood looked at Gabriel and smiled sadly.
He's as stubborn as a mule and about as charming. But a part of me is glad he's still there. And another part lives in fear of the day he finally dies. Israel will never be quite the same, and neither will King Saul Boulevard.
King Saul Boulevard was the address of Israel's Foreign Intelligence Service. It had a long and deliberately misleading name that had very little to do with the true nature of its work. Those who worked there referred to it as the office and nothing else.
Shemrone will never die, Julian. Shemrone is eternal.
I wouldn't be so sure, Petal. He didn't look well to me.
Gabriel sipped his tea. It had been nearly a decade since Ari Shemrone had done his last tour as chief, and yet he still meddled in the affairs of the office as though it were his private fiefdom. Its ranks were filled with officers who had been recruited and groomed by Shemrone, officers who operated by a creed, even spoke a language written by him. Though he no longer had a formal position or title, Shemrone remained the hidden hand that guided Israel's security policies. Isherwood leaned forward and placed a hand on Gabriel's arm.
Shemrone told me about what happened in Russia. Heaven knows I'm no expert, but I doubt even you have the power to erase a memory like that.
Gabriel watched the seagulls floating like kites above the tip of Lizard Point. His thoughts, however, were of a birch forest east of Moscow. He was standing next to Kiara at the edge of a freshly dug grave, his hands bound behind his back, his eyes fixed on the barrel of a large-caliber pistol. At the other end of the gun was Ivan Karkov, Russian oligarch, international financier, arms dealer, and murderer.
"Enjoy watching your wife die, Alon."
Gabriel blinked, and the vision was gone.
"How much did Shemrone tell you?"
"Enough to know that you and Kiara have every right to lock yourselves away in that cottage and never come out again. I read about Ivan's murder in the newspapers. The French police seem convinced he was killed on orders from the Kremlin or by an angry business rival. But it was you, wasn't it, Gabriel?"
"Just because I'm officially retired now doesn't mean the rules have changed, Julian."
Isherwood picked reflectively at the corner of his napkin.
"You did the world a favor by killing him. Now you have to do one for yourself and that gorgeous wife of yours. It's time for you and Kiara to rejoin the living. It's time for you to start thinking about something other than Ivan Karkov."
"Something like a painting?" Gabriel asked.
"Exactly."
Gabriel exhaled heavily.
"Ah, who is the artist?"
"Rembrandt."
"What condition is it in?"
"Hard to say."
"Why is that?"
"Because at the moment it's missing."
"How can I restore a missing painting?"
"Perhaps I'm not making myself clear. I don't need you to restore a painting, Gabriel. I need you to find one."
They walked along the cliffs toward Lizard Light. Isherwood's hands were shoved into the pockets of his tweed country coat, the ends of his woolen scarf fluttering like warning flags in the raw wind. Paradoxically, he was speaking of summer, a sultry afternoon in July, when he had visited a chateau in the Loire Valley to pick over the collection of its deceased owner.
"There were one or two paintings that were mildly interesting, but the rest was complete crap. As I was leaving, my mobile rang. It was none other than David Cavendish, art advisor to the vastly rich, and a rather shady character, to put it mildly.